You are now listening to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
This is the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. We're here with Josh and Brian. Peter is a little under the weather today, and we have not podcasted in weeks. So we decided we're going to go for it.
We barricaded him into his office. He cannot get out if he wants to.
It's like, sir, please stay still. We will be joined by a special guest here later on in the episode. I don't know if you all are familiar with Siri, Apple product, very popular. People kind of talk into their phone and she just lets you have it.
Let's talk about this for a minute. When is it appropriate to talk into your phone? And when is it more appropriate to just text?
I am starting to get very dependent on voice to text.
So you're obviously close to 40 years old or higher.
Oh, burn.
No, I've caught myself doing it more and more too.
I feel like I'm very respectful when I do it.
Right.
Like I do it, you know, I'm on the road a lot. I drive a lot. So I feel like that's an opportune time for me to use that feature. I don't do it in the middle of the grocery store.
You and I have been to meetings that we'll leave the names out of it, but people will totally pull up their phones and ask it questions in the middle of a conference, in the middle of a talk, anything like that.
I know who you're talking about.
It's wild to me.
It's so wild. Also, I feel like I need to give some kind of a listener warning. I am drinking an energy drink. So if I get extremely more hype and animated as we go, just know it's the Monster.
It's the Monster energy.
It's not even that good. It's just, I'm like so tired and nothing's doing it for me. And I'm like, well, let's try this.
I've discovered like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I usually just make my own coffee at home. It's okay at best, but it gives you that little jump up. You can go get a large Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It takes me all day to drink it. I feel amazing most of the day until all of a sudden it just kills me.
Hazelnut.
Hazelnut coffee, always.
Brian is the hazelnut king.
Well, I really dislike the taste of coffee. Hazelnut's the only thing that covers it up well.
So now that we know that you like hazelnut, we know that you are essentially like a 60-year-old man.
Right. Which brings us to our next thing that I went to bed too early to see. Did you see the blue supermoon?
Yeah. Well, I've got some bad news, Brian. I did not see it. I did receive a text from Mindy.
Okay.
Who said, hey, you know, the prime time to see this moon is like 9:35. If you have Nolan, you guys should go out and, you know, take a look at it. And I was like, 9:35, I'll be asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
People don't understand. I am in my bed easily by 8:45.
If I see nighttime, it's because I woke up early enough to see it.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a supermoon, blue supermoon that wasn't blue.
But it was super.
But it was super. So, full disclosure, Brian and I have, you know, looked at this information. It's not really my thing. He's not really into it either. So we're going to invite Siri to join us and hear what Siri has to say about the blue supermoon. So let's see. How do I do it? Here we go. Hey, Siri, please explain the blue supermoon.
From AccuWeather.com, a blue moon is when a full moon occurs twice in a calendar month.
Hey, Siri, is that it? Oh, she's texting me now, saying, I'm not sure I understand. Okay, well, we did our obligatory super blue moon talk.
Siri
doesn't care either, so we'll just carry on.
I'm sure it was cool.
Yeah.
Well, we leave it at that.
So, next on the list, it's football time in Tennessee. Cue Rocky Top.
Are you going to the game this weekend?
I am not because it's at Nissan Stadium in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
And They're playing the University of Virginia, so it's going to be a slaughter. And I just don't want to go.
I like how something in Knoxville and Virginia Tech are meeting all the way
it's
over.
It's not
in
Virginia Tech. It's UVA.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Virginia Tech. Sorry.
For those new listeners joining us, Brian's not terribly into sports.
You
so
mean Virginia has more than one football team?
So we kind of have to hold his hand with those things, but I've always give Brian so much credit because he is trying. I invited you to watch football Saturday.
Absolutely.
And you're like, no, I've got better things to do.
But I thought about it for almost a moment.
You did think about it. I could see it crossing your mind, but no. I think there's the mindset of Tennessee playing off-site for their first game, especially in Nashville, is more of a kind of a brand recognition thing.
Okay.
Because, you know, we're tucked here. We're kind of in the heart of, you know, UT football right here in East Tennessee, Northeast Tennessee. But you got to think, the rest of the state is not nearly as locked in with UT as we are here. So they do offer, you know, they try to do some of their, especially home opener games in Nashville and places like that to get more fan base there for like the West Tennessee folks, Middle Tennessee folks, stuff
that
like that.
That makes sense because I'll get phone calls from other financial people or clients or whoever all over the country. And they'll call us or call me up and ask how I think the Titans have done. And I have to explain to them every time that I'm in East Tennessee. We follow UT.
We watch college football.
Yeah, we watch college football. And if they're good enough at UT, we'll then follow them through their professional
That's
career.
That's true. That's very
like,
true.
You would see more Colts fans and then Broncos fans here in East Tennessee than you ever saw Tennessee Titans fans just because the people followed Manning.
Speaking of, I don't know if you saw this or not, but he's actually going back to UT to be a professor.
I did not see that.
Yeah. I can't remember right offhand what he's going to be teaching, but it's in the mass communications department.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
I thought that was really neat.
That is really cool.
I bet that class will fill up fast. it's going to be like the equivalent, like the college sign up classes equivalent of buying concert tickets. You know, when you wait online and it's like you're watching the countdown because you got to be like the first one to buy before the concert sells out. It's going to be like that to sign up for his class. People are going to be waiting. And as soon as it opens, enroll, enroll, enroll.
Well, I don't know. I'd feel hesitant because I'd have to put a lot of work into his class. I don't really want Peyton Manning disappointed in me.
Well, your parents already are. Why not Peyton?
Why not Peyton Manning? Because he's bigger than me.
But yes, it is college football season time, I guess, when everyone's hearing this. So it is, today is Thursday, August 31st, right?
For us.
For us. If you're listening to this, welcome to September. I'm not quite sure when I will get this released, so Tennessee's already played, and I hope that we've all celebrated, and we're having a good week. Okay, so Brian and I are kind of doing this off the cuff today, which actually a lot of times turns out to be some of our better ones than when we actually prepare. But we were thinking it would be fun to have some open discussion questions for the podcast today, all kind of stemming around the idea of money and finances, things of that nature. And, you know, I picked about six questions that I thought would be somewhat entertaining for us to answer. And also there might be some really good tie-ins.
And if you're listening and any of this resonates with you, feel free to reach out to us and tell us your story about them.
I absolutely 100% want to know everyone's answers to these questions.
Absolutely. It's fun.
And if you answer every single question, I will send you a gift.
There you go.
Swear to God.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. And it's only six questions. Why would you not just fill out each question, send it in to connect@afiadvisors.com and claim your free gift? I'm not going to tell you what it is. It could be something huge.
Huge.
How does Trump say it? Huge.
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 It so could, it's something between a piece of paper and a sky car.
Somewhere in there, yes. Somewhere in there. But let's see on this question here. The first one, Brian. I'm going to let you answer first, okay? How do you feel after spending a large amount of money?
Oh, I feel awful. I hate spending large amounts of money. It makes me feel like something's just missing all of a sudden.
Okay, let's get a little more specific.
Okay, I feel like I just ate a Hot Pocket after I've spent a lot of money. Just don't feel good about myself.
Okay, unpopular opinion. I think Hot Pockets are good.
They taste fine. I've never felt good about myself after eating one.
I will say I've not had one in years. But a Hot Pocket was a staple of my diet for a long time. And you never just I always fixed both of them. It's like, why just eat one?
What? Well, no, that's, yeah.
Might as well eat two. But let's dial it in a little bit. What would you consider to be a large amount of money? What makes you feel like you just digested a Hot Pocket?
Anything that's over $500 that wasn't already planned out.
Gotcha. So, yeah, that's good.
You know, mortgage, stuff like that. It's there. I know it's coming.
Which is the perfect amount, like in my world, because I'm with you. Anytime I spend a large amount of money, I'm just devastated.
Yeah.
I feel gross. I feel like the world's about to end.
I'm disappointed in myself for having to do that. Yeah.
So that 500 threshold, though, is definitely, that's where it's at for me, too. And it's usually always like a vehicle.
Right.
And that gets me every time. Which I'll talk about maybe some vehicle stuff later on in these questions, because I've already read a question. I was like, yeah, I know an answer to this one. But yeah, over that $500 not planned, I feel terrible.
And I don't enjoy spending, you know, $400, but $500 is kind of where it starts to hurt.
Well, and that's why we talk too, you know, a lot of people talk about having that, you know, that emergency fund.
Absolutely.
Pushed back. And that emergency fund can really absorb some of the, you know, some of the blow that comes with that.
I can say without an emergency fund, that number would be a lot lower for me.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. Just because all of a sudden I'm unable to do that without an emergency fund.
Understood.
So.
See, easy question, right? The energy drink's kicking in. Yeah, I'm ready to just like tear it up.
Yelling by the sixth one.
Question number two. Okay, here we go. The next question, Brian, how do you prefer to pay for purchases? With cash, a credit card, you know, some other form of payment? What you got?
I enjoy using my credit card more than cash or debit card or anything like that. Okay. I feel like it gives me a level of safety.
So you use a credit card more than a debit card?
Absolutely. I don't even know if my debit card would like activate. It's been so long since I've used it. There's a level of safety there. If I lose it, I can call up the credit card company and have it gone. No one's going to return my, you know, $20 bill to me.
Right. And also,
and it's easier for me to track it as it goes, because all I have to do is pull up my credit card statement. It says you've spent, you know, X amount of money getting gas.
Yeah.
And that helps my budgeting.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought you would have said that. Yeah. So I'm definitely team card, but I use credit card and debit card. And
okay.
I don't have a reason.
What would cause you to use a debit card over a credit card or vice versa?
So what's funny is, you know, you just talked about with your credit card, you feel like it's easier for you to keep up with things.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like it gives me too much freedom to be irresponsible, because that money is not right then directly coming out of my account. It's like I'll pay for it later.
Well, they've done studies. Apparently swiping a credit card makes you happier. Giving somebody cash lowers your happiness.
Huh.
But I think the difference between you and I comes to what our budgeting is like.
Right.
I budget once a week at the end of the week, so it hurts if I've spent more money.
What's a budget?
Tune in next week for a conversation on budgets.
But no, so historically what I've done, I've used my credit card for business expenses, typically. Okay. And use my debit card for, you know, normal living. I never, ever have cash.
Oh, I don't have cash.
And if you force me to go to an ATM and get cash, whenever you see me, I am not going to be in a pleasant mood because it is painful. I drive a big truck. It's hard to get into the ATM. And if I have to get out and go inside to get money, I may never be your friend again.
Just don't carry cash. I think that's the millennial in me.
Yeah. I also have a skinny wallet.
I do too.
So
does yours kind of have like a little clip on it?
No. Mine is literally the thinnest kind of wallet I could get, and I carry just as little as possible. And I see all these people, you know, it reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where George Costanza has the huge compacted wallet with literally everything, and he sits down and he's all lopsided because it's like got him jacked up. I don't understand how people carry big wallets.
So I have my driver's license, my credit card, a couple of business cards, and my insurance card, and I think that's all I have in my wallet.
I'm about the same. I don't think I have my insurance card in there, but everything else.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
My insurance card, it might actually be on my phone now.
People are paying. See, that's another form of payment. People can use their phone too. Things like Apple Pay, stuff like that. That's a little too progressive for me.
Yeah, I'm not quite to that point.
I'm not there yet.
But apparently, like, my watch has the ability to go up and do transactions on like Food City's, you know, card payment thing, but I've not tried that yet.
I'm like at the age where I feel like when people are doing that, they're kind of showing off.
Yeah. And I also feel like if I could easily do that to that, how easy would it be for someone to just steal my money, like walking by and scanning my watch or something?
Well, anyways, we could clearly talk about our grievances on this for a while, but let's go. Let's do another question. This is fun, right? Everybody getting pumped? You want some of my energy drink?
Oh, groovy, baby.
Oh, Brian. It's got your name all over it. How often do you think about money? And is money a stressful part of your life?
I would say all the time, because that's what I do for a living. And actually, money doesn't stress me out all that much. If I want to calm down, sitting down and figuring out how much something costs and creating a plan to reach that calms me down.
Well, money doesn't stress you out because you're loaded.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy not to be stressed about something when you are plentiful with it.
But it, you know, money can be a huge point of stress, particularly in relationships and things like that. If you don't have that level of stress with money, if you're not having to figure out what you're going to be doing, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and you can put a little bit aside.
Yeah.
Planning it out really helps people calm down.
Right.
If you go into something and you don't even know where to start, of course that's going to cause stress. Yeah. If you're coming at it from a point of, I don't have anything, but I have a plan to get where I want to go, that relieves stress completely. And then you have a plan, and then the stress comes from the parts of the implementation of that plan.
I think that a lot of people stress about money.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people have money in the back of their head all the time.
Absolutely.
It may not be in the forefront all the time, but it's definitely in the back of their head. And that's a really exhausting place to be. And I'm guilty of that too. I think about money a lot only because I'm just, there's something in my brain that makes me feel like I have to be uber responsible and cover all of these things. And it really doesn't hit into overdrive for me until one of the situations happens, like in the other question we just talked about, when I have to spend a large amount of money.
Right.
When that happens, that's when it becomes stressful for me. And that's when my mind's just churning. That's just an awful place to be in, but I feel like that's extremely common for people.
I also think that it has to do when it stresses me out when I start comparing myself to others.
Yeah.
There's always, I mean, the thing is, I deal with a lot of other people's money.
Yeah.
And most of them have significantly more than me.
Well, that's good. That means you're doing your job well. So.
But I mean, it is hard to not compare yourself to people that you spend time around.
Yeah.
You know, I look at my car and I have a 2015 Nissan Sentra.
It's sweet.
It's I like it, But when I pull up next to, you know, other people, it's not, they're not like, you know, looking at me or even noticing I'm there, maybe.
Sweet Sintra, man. Yeah.
You know, I think that.
I bet you get 35 MPGs.
I do. And it's awesome. But I think that the comparison can definitely be a thief of joy and cause all distress,
yeah,
too.
Like the, and you start putting together things like the comparison and then even more so like destination envy and stuff
absolutely.
Like that. Trying to feel like you. Trying to feel like you've got to be in this place to be happy.
And you're not even comparing yourself to real people. You're comparing yourself to the image that they put out there.
You're probably putting way too many expectations on yourself, which then turns you into a stressful mess when things aren't going your way.
When you see your friends and family buying this new house or going on this super elaborate vacation, we don't know how much they had to put aside leading up to it, what they had to sacrifice to do it, or how much debt they went into to do these things.
That's another one, how much debt they went into.
How much debt?
People just assume that folks who have super nice things are just rich.
Right. A lot of times it has they're the opposite.
They're the opposite. They're out there wazoo in debt. So that's another good reason not to compare yourself to other
absolutely.
People, because they might have the things and they might be doing the stuff, but they also may be drowning in debt that they may not end up getting
and
out of.
And even if they're not, if you're trying to compete with them, you might put yourself in debt.
Exactly.
Trying to compete with them.
Exactly. Well, tune in for the Bullseye Podcast for all things life advice. So here, this is a great segue because I've got a cool answer to this one. It's not cool. It's very unfortunate. But, Brian, is there something you regret buying and why?
2 years ago, I bought a fish tank. And when I'm saying fish tank, I'm talking like a 125-gallon aquarium.
Wow.
And I spent a year trying to get all the chemicals right in it. I've spent... I haven't added it up, but over $1,000 on this fish tank, only to kill 7 of the poorest fish you've ever
sacrificial fish. was,
and my last one passed away 2 or 3 months ago, and I've just decided not to keep going with the fish tank. It was way too much work. Yeah. It was way too much money. It was way too much money to maintain it, and I broke down every single time one of those stupid fish died. Like I just could feel like I'm responsible for them, and I'm just like killing them. So that was my big purchase.
That's
regret.
That's funny because I grew up. My dad has always been super into like fish and fish tanks.
Oh, they're super interesting, and when you're good at them,
like
they're
that.
Beautiful.
I remember when I was little, and he still has a couple of fish tanks. But I remember when I was little, he had a huge saltwater tank. And, yeah, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
People don't realize. It's not like, you know, you just dump some water in there and put a fish in. It's
2.5 hours every Saturday morning is what I put into it.
Yeah.
And apparently I needed to do either more or less.
whatever you did.
It was wrong.
So my unfortunate purchase that I regret, and Brian, you were around for this. I had a Land Rover.
You did.
It was beautiful. I looked amazing in it. I felt amazing in it. It was super. Okay, I'll give Land Rover props for one thing. It was the most comfortable vehicle.
It's a really comfortable car
that I have ever been in. Yeah. I mean, I would drive in that thing, and it was so comfortable. Like the seats would just like do all the stuff in the things to make you comfortable. It cost me a fortune mechanically to keep that thing on the road. That's money I'll never get back. Like, I'll never be able to get it back. And, it's vehicles, I didn't do myself any favors, you know. Vehicles are going to cost us money.
Right.
They're
money holes.
They're money holes. Yeah. And that's, I say all the time, I feel like vehicles are the absolute worst investments.
Oh, absolutely.
You can make.
They're almost guaranteed to lose money.
Right.
Some of them don't if you get, you know, that special brand or whatever.
Yeah, but I remember, I got to the point where my Land Rover was nickel and diming me. But in Land Rover world, nickels and dimes are like $500, $1,000. Like, it wasn't nickels and dimes. And I took a hit on that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's embarrassing, but that was one of those impulse things I wanted to do.
Well, you figure how much of your life you spend in a vehicle. I mean, you live in Greenville and you work in Kingsport. So that's immediately an hour and a half a day you're
spending in the vehicle. Right. Totally makes sense.
So, I mean, it makes sense it's more on your mind.
Right. But that was my biggest regret. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've made some other really dumb purchases, but that was probably
the most impactful. Most people's, you know, bad purchase is usually a car. A lot of times it's someone buying a new car. You know, if you buy a used car with 10, 15,000 miles on it, you're getting a considerably better deal than buying a brand new one.
Yeah.
And you're only, you know, you've only lost 10,000, 15,000 miles on it.
Well, now I'm all depressed. We've got two more questions. Let's crank these out really quick. All right, Brian, here we go. If a young person wanted to know what career they should pursue to make as much money as possible, what would you recommend they do?
If they're strictly going for the most money possible 15, 20 years from now, I would imagine computer engineers, software developers, maybe surgeons on the medical side would make a lot of money, especially the ones that tend to specialize in things. But I will say, when you're picking your career, money is an important part of it, but not necessarily the most important part of it. Correct. You have to like what you do. I spend more time at work doing work things than I spend at home with my family.
Yeah.
Like, even if I was making, you know, 15 times the salary I make now doing something I really dislike, I'm not necessarily sure that's worth it.
That makes sense. Makes sense. I know what you shouldn't do if you want to make a ton of money. You shouldn't,
marketing.
Shouldn't do marketing. So all the kids that are listening right now. So,
I think you just need to be better at it, Josh.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's really weird because, and I definitely don't want to go down this rabbit hole because, you know, we've talked several times about AI and how the landscape of work is changing and going to change over the next 20 years. I don't really know, to be honest with you. I don't know because I don't know what that's going to look like. But I do think that anything that has to involve engineering, computers, anything like that. Oh, my gosh. Those kids that were at the Rotary meeting with the robot from Dobbins-Bennett.
We went to a Kiwanis meeting.
Did I say Rotary?
Yeah, you said Rotary. Rotary's been on your mind lately.
Sorry, Kiwanis.
No. they
don't let them listen to this.
They did competitive robotics.
Yeah, it was insane.
And apparently they're the second, they said 30th or 80th in the world?
No, it was like 30th. Yeah, it was.
DB's like the 30th best robotics team in the world. They compete nationally.
High school kids.
And the first 5 minutes of every competition, the robot has to do things autonomously.
Mm-hmm.
And that was neat. And those kids, they'd get up there and start talking about it and like, straight over my head.
Yeah, it was really impressive. I mean, I was a little disappointed because I thought they were making the robots that fought one another.
That would have been a lot cooler. Probably not as cost effective.
Yeah, it wouldn't. The ROI on those wouldn't be nearly as good. But
they were saying they spend like $10,000-$20,000 on a robot.
Yeah.
I mean,
really cool. If y'all are listening,
we spent $20,000 and mine got burnt by the other robot.
Yeah, if y'all are listening, you need to check that out. I'm sure they've got something on their website about it, but it's really impressive. We've got time for one more question.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're closing in on 30 minutes here. It's about all our listeners can take of us. Brian, imagine you have won $10 million. Who will you tell? What will you do with the money?
Probably wouldn't tell many people. Lacey would probably know, since we're married and all. And then I figure my coworkers would slowly pick up on it because, like, my arrogance would, like, undeservingly start increasing.
That's what I was saying. I was like, I'm not gonna tell anyone. It's not like I'm just going to put that out there on the airwaves, but people are going to figure it out.
People are going to know. I'm just going to start acting like, you know,
whenever I'm landing my helicopter at Taco Bell,
people are going to know.
They're going to put two and two together. Or my sky car.
Yeah,
air car. Dang Eckhart. It. I'm messing everything up today. It's the energy drink.
And I'd keep doing, I really like what I do. So I'd keep working, but Peter would be a lot nicer to me because, you know, snap of a finger, I'm gone. No.
Well, don't need this anymore. I'm going to my helicopter.
Roof access, leaving right away.
Oh, my goodness.
It would cut my commute down from 3 minutes to like.
Yeah, you'd be here.
It'd probably
no
take
time.
Longer to turn the helicopter.
You'd be here in no time. That's great. Well,
what about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
you skipped over the last one. You can't skip over this one.
Well, the last one, I just didn't have an answer. I didn't know. I'm like too dumb to answer it. You know, I wouldn't tell anyone for sure, but I would definitely, I'd buy a helicopter.
It's your financial advisor. Hopefully you would tell me.
I would buy a helicopter. I've talked about wanting a helicopter for 2 years now, and darn it.
I don't even know how much helicopter. Is that be like all 10 million?
No. No.
I don't know how much helicopters cost.
Dude, no. You can, it'd be pocket change. Pocket change.
But the prices of those are coming down. You
They're
can get
coming
for
down.
10,
yeah.
15,000.
No,
no
one
problem.
Wants helicopters anymore. They want all these smart cars and stuff.
Just don't get the newest model. Go back a couple models, helicopter, you're fine.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's all the questions. Guys, please answer all of those questions. Send your answers to connect at AFIadvisors.com. And I'm going to send you a gift. What did we say? Somewhere between a piece of paper
and an air car.
And an air car.
And if you haven't looked up air cars yet, look it up. They're really neat.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Robert wasn't a fan, but
no,
they're really neat.
They're really cool, though.
And be sure to go check us out on all of our social channels. You can check us out also on our website, AFIadvisors.com. Brian and I are going to get out of here. I'm getting the jitters. The monster's really kicking in right now, so I'm going to make a couple laps around the building. But I hope everyone has a good rest of the day, and hey, we'll see you back in a couple weeks.
We'll see what happens.
Bye, guys.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@AFIadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.